Hey there, Land Trust listeners, and welcome to our podcast, Learning the Land, where we talk all things wild here in Santa Cruz County. I'm your guest host, Sarah McMurray. Today, we're flipping the script, and I'll be interviewing Laura Donnell Schickman about one of the programs she runs here at the Land Trust. Hi, Laura, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. So we've invited you on today, really, because I've had a number of questions come up about our legacy program here at the Land Trust. Having worked in the nonprofit world for over 6 years, I've definitely heard this term before, but I'll be honest, it's not something I've worked directly with. So I thought interviewing you about it might help me and our listeners learn more about what it is and why the Land Trust has one. But before I start grilling you about this, maybe you can share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do for us here at the Land Trust, besides interviewing people for podcasts.
So I guess I'll start at the beginning. I'm a Santa Cruz local. I grew up here. I went to Bayview Elementary on the west side of Santa Cruz. And I went to UCSC, where I studied American Studies. And really, you know, I kind of pinpoint that as, you know, if you had asked me at that point, like, what you want to be when you grow up, like, probably fundraising wouldn't have crossed my mind. But I love storytelling. And I love hearing stories and the act of living out, like, all of that. And in a way, I think fundraising really embodies that, because you're telling the story of a cause that's important. And so, you know, looking back, I'm like, okay, it makes sense. I know how I got here. But at the time, you know, so I did American Studies. Right out of college, I moved up to the Bay Area, where I got my first job in fundraising, working at a nonprofit Jewish day school. And it really kind of took off from there. I just, as I mentioned with storytelling, like, I just fell in love with getting to share the stories of the organization, of the work that was being done, and communicating that to people who it resonated with. And then, you know, finding, you know, people then who supported it and whatnot. So I guess that's kind of the long story of how I got here. I've worked in a few different types of nonprofits, the Organic Farming Research Foundation, and then, of course, the Land Trust, which has just been such a joy, especially as a local, kind of coming home and really working to protect, I think, the lands that make our communities so special, and with the added bonus of creating public access to them to serve our different communities. So here at the Land Trust, though, I get to kind of have my fingers in everything, which I really love. I get to work on our podcast. I get to do design some of our communications. I get to help write stories of the week. I, of course, get to talk to our members, which is phenomenal, and take people out for tours of our properties. And then our legacy program. So it's fun. I get to kind of, you know, be a part of a myriad of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You are just kind of a classic nonprofit jack of all trades. So let's go ahead and dive into the work that you do with your legacy hat on. What does legacy mean, and what is a legacy program?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think legacy is really what we want to live on after us. When we think about, you know, the things that have been meaningful in our lives and what defines us, it's kind of, this is our legacy is our chance for immortality in a way. Like, it's what is going to pass on. And it's a statement about what we've really cared about and prioritized. Legacy programs at nonprofits are a way for people to fund work that they feel passionate about, that they want to be part of their legacy, that has been part of their identity, whether that's land conservation, that's women's health, you know, helping house the homeless. It's a really powerful impact statement about what's been meaningful in your life and what your priorities have been. And so a good legacy program offers a way that's meaningful for a donor to do that.
So what, from that thread, what inspires someone to make a legacy gift?
Usually it's something, it comes from the heart. It's you know, people reflecting on, you know, what are my priorities? What are, it's linked to your ethics. It's linked to your life philosophy, your gestalt. It's, you know, it's you, when you're taking stock of the core things that have motivated you in your lifetime, right, is usually where it starts. So, you know, we've got some amazing legacy members who have shared stories of, you know, it was the first time I stepped foot on my grandfather's ranch that I remember. And I just, the feeling of the earth under my boots and smelling the horses and the cat, like, you know, it's a very visceral thing. It's a key part of your identity that, you know, especially when we think of our passing or our time here ending, that you really want to make sure continues. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's that kind of spark of like identity that I think really inspires people when they're going through the reflective process of what they want to live on to make a legacy gift.
Absolutely. You know, and what you're kind of reflecting to me is like, this is all about a really meaningful expression of your life. And so it, you know, that kind of brings to mind, like, what does having a conversation look like with a potential legacy donor? I mean, these could be potentially challenging conversations. They could be awkward conversations. Do you find it easy? I'd love to hear more about that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, each conversation is so different because each person is so different and is coming at it from a, you know, very different place. You know, it could, for some people, it's a very like political, nope, this is what I, land conservation has been something I support, and this is for climate change. You know, they've got a very like direct way of thinking about it. For other people, it's, you know, they've got, it's, you know, anytime we think about our passing, it can be incredibly uncomfortable for some, and, but there's still that, you know, that spark, that desire, to create something that's going to last past you. And so, some conversations are really just sitting down, having a cup of coffee and talking about childhood, and talking about, you know, just the wonderful memories and things that have been key parts of building one's identity throughout their life. And, you know, the other aspect, some people too are coming at it from a financial planning point. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to continue doing good in the world, but they also are like, how can I maximize certain tax benefits? Again, these conversations, it really kind of depends on the donor or prospective donor's, you know, needs and emotional process.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly here, like, you know, these conversations are always like, we don't do any kind of hard solicitation or anything like that. It's, you know, a lot of times the conversations are people who have reached out to me, mm-hmm. who are already going through the process or thinking about it, and we'll talk at different points. Sometimes they're just starting out. They're, you know, maybe 27 having their first baby, and they're like, I just thought about writing my will for the first time. Whoa. There was this thing about maybe making a donation, and I thought of you guys. And then we're having a very different conversation because it's the first time someone's processing through that part of life and that stage of life. And then of course there's people who are further along, or, you know, maybe just sold their house. There's kind of these different transition points where, one kind of revisits this thought.
Absolutely. I can relate to some of that right now at this point in my life. Yeah, so it sounds like it could be any number of people would want to communicate with you about the potential for a legacy gift. But who are those core people that you're having conversations with?
I think the core people who are reaching out to me are loyal members. And we use that term loyal because they give year after year. They're familiar with our organization. They're coming to our events every time we have one. And so they're very engaged and with our work and with our teams. I mean, that being said, sometimes it's someone who I didn't realize was a loyal donor in the sense that they read all our communications, they're staying up to date. Maybe they're not giving regularly because they don't currently have the financial means to, but they're thinking long-term. They're like, hey, at least I can do a gift in my will or trust. Like I can make a legacy gift. And that, so it's, you know, there's not necessarily a profile of person. But I'd say by and large is people that, whether we are able to track it or not,
mm-hmm.
very familiar with what we do. They use our properties, or they follow our wildlife connectivity projects, and are excited about what that is. But yeah, in terms of age or whatnot, it's really also across the board. I mean, it's just because as I mentioned, these, you know, the points at which we kind of evaluate, our legacy comes up at different markers.
Absolutely. And, you know, that kind of segues into my next question perfectly, which is that what's the difference between a legacy gift and a regular donation to the land trust?
That's an excellent question. I mean, a legacy gift is a planned gift that you put in your will or trust. And there are a multitude of types. I mean, I think the standard one that people are probably most familiar with is a bequest, where you basically designate a certain portion of your financial estate to an organization like the land trust. There's also, you can leave retirement funds, you can leave property. So we've had, you know, people leave acreage and whatnot to us. You can name the land trust as a beneficiary of your life insurance. You know, you can set up something called a charitable remainder trust, which is a little more, takes a little bit more planning. So when you start thinking about the types of legacy gifts to make, that's where it's also beneficial to speak with a financial planner, because you want to make sure that you're maximizing the amount of benefits to your estate as well. But yeah, no, there's, and I'm more than happy, I don't want to bore our listeners here with all the different nuances between them. And so if anyone's interested, I'm always happy to have a conversation with them about that.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize there were so many different types of legacy gifts. And it sounds like they don't all have the same financial benefits. So it behooves you to speak to your financial advisor.
Absolutely.
And talk to Laura.
You can talk to me. And one of the key differences here too, of course, is that the gift isn't given to the organization until after the donor's passing. So it's one of the key lines you'll hear is this is a gift anyone can make, because it doesn't require, payment now. And so it, you know, that can definitely be an appealing option to someone that's like, I'm so passionate about what you do, I don't have the funds right now, but I can do this other type of gift. And it's an incredibly meaningful gift, whether it's, you know, leaving $20 or more. Like, it's, I definitely have an emotional connection to legacy giving, because I've been in that boat where, like, I didn't have means, but I was able to know that I was going to support an organization at some point, in a way that, you know, would be meaningful then, and, you know, spoke to some core fundamental beliefs that I had that I wanted to make a statement about.
Definitely. I mean, it's, you know, that the things that you value during your lifetime really mattered, right? I mean, that's really exciting. Thank you so much for sharing that. We're going to take a quick pause for a podcast break, and then I can't wait to hear more.
Land Trust of Santa Cruz County, this is Sarah. How can I help you?
Hi, Sarah. In the last podcast episode, I learned a ton about the Land Trust wildlife connectivity work, and it's pretty cool. But, well, what's really the deal with the Santa Cruz Mountain Lions? I know people keep saying they're in danger, but they seem to be everywhere, so I'm confused. How can they be endangered?
Great question! Well, you see, there are different ways an animal population can be threatened or at risk. In the case of our favorite Santa Cruz predator, it's not that they've been hunted to near extinction like the gray wolf, but rather that the genetic health of the pumas is in imminent danger.
Genetic health? In what way?
Yes, basically, they're becoming inbred. You see, because of man-made highways and encroaching development of our open spaces, Santa Cruz Mountain Lions can't reach the Gabilon Range, where there are other pumas to breed with.
Got it. Okay, wait, hang on. Whoa, so how long do we have before the damage from inbreeding is irreversible?
Unfortunately, not that long in biological terms. About 30 years max. It's why wildlife connectivity has been a priority for the Land Trust. Projects like the Highway 17 crossing took 10 years before we were able to break ground. It takes time because it involves state agencies, acquiring property, etc.
I see. So now that we have Rocks Ranch, we're close to done though, right?
Oh, if only. We're still fundraising to cover the costs of the Rocks Ranch purchase. We have 3 years to fundraise $6.3 million gap as part of our Nature Connections campaign. Once we own Rocks Ranch completely, we can begin working with our partners on getting the crossing under Highway 101 built, and that could take another 5 to 10 years.
Oy, which puts us close to that 30-year deadline. How can I support this project getting completed as fast as possible?
The best way is to donate to our campaign. The quicker we're able to close the gap, the quicker we can begin the planning and construction of the wildlife tunnels.
Excellent. That's easy. I'll make my donation today. What's the best way?
Any way that works for you. You can mail your donation to our offices at 617 Water Street, Santa Cruz, California, 95060. You can make a one-time online donation by visiting www.landtrustsantacruz.org. Or if you'd like, you can also make your donation a recurring monthly gift.
Great. Thanks so much, Sarah. I'll make my gift today. And thanks so much to the Land Trust for keeping Santa Cruz wild.
You bet. And thank you for your support.
All right, listeners, thank you for your patience. And now back to our interview.
What happens when somebody makes a legacy gift?
So here at the Land Trust, we have a Legacy Circle program, and we honor them. Like, we, right away, you know, this isn't like a, like, down the line we'll honor you and, you know, you can't enjoy that. We want to celebrate your gift now. And not, like, we don't need to know the amount. We don't need to know what has been left. Like, when you come forward and let me know that you've made some type of legacy arrangement or legacy gift, we get your name on a plaque and put it on our burn wall. We invite you to all of our Legacy and Conservation Circle events, which is, we do an annual dinner. We have insider meetings with our executive director. We'll do special update coffees with you if you'd like. We put you on our special e-update list so you can get videos and content. You know when the podcasts get dropped first. Things like that. So we really, you know, it's really important to us to turn around and let you know how important your statement is and how honored we are that you've chosen to include us as part of your ongoing identity. And of course, if you would like to remain anonymous, you certainly don't have to, we don't have to include you in our Legacy Circle things. I know some people would really prefer that, you know, they notify us that they've made, that they're making a legacy gift. But they really don't want any kind of outreach after that. And we, of course, want to honor whatever your comfort level is. So we do have a secure form online where you can notify us that you plan to make a legacy gift. And you can check the box anonymous, in which case you won't hear from us. We will leave you alone. And we'll go from there. But and then certainly there's a whole range of in between. Like, yes, if you'd like to be recognized on our burn wall, but you don't want to be invited to events or things like that. So it's really up to whatever a legacy member feels comfortable with.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of potential benefits to becoming a legacy member. But what are some of the challenges or emotions people face when considering a legacy gift? And how do you talk someone through those things?
You know, it's really just being an ear for someone as they are processing it. Because it's a lot to process. I mean, I feel one of the programs or tools that we have in our toolkit here for members is something called Free Will. And it's a program we pay for, but it's free for our members to use, where you can make your will or trust online. And this is something I know I've loved because, you know, it can feel very intimidating, sterile. It can be daunting. And if you're someone, I've also, you know, been through the process on the end of helping execute a will and seeing, you know, families get upset. So, like, there's so much emotion wrapped up, right? Mm-hmm. In our own passing and in the thoughts of how our family is going to be. It can be really overwhelming. And so Free Will allowed me to do it on my couch, in my sweats, a glass or two or three of wine, you know, and I can pause it too. I could pause it and come back to it. And so it, you know, I think for, you know, when I've talked to members who are really, you know, they're just grappling with all the aspects, you know, whether it's how their family is going to be, how they're feeling about their own mortality. I love to offer this and be like, hey, no pressure. Like, you don't have to use it. You don't have to give to us if you use it. Like, there's no strings attached, but it's just something to kind of, and it's a very simple, they make it really simple too. They kind of walk you through, they explain, the program explains what everything means. So you're not hung up on like, what does this like legalese mean? How will it affect the, you know, it really makes it accessible in a way that's becomes much less scary. And so, you know, I know that kind of deviates a little bit from the question of how do you talk to people about it, but that's, it's nice to have that in the toolkit, because when I do talk to people who are really struggling, but want, it's like they're torn. It's like, I really want to support the land trust in this way. And it means a lot to me, but I can't go down this path. And it's like, hey, I get it. Like, and you know, you don't have to right now. You don't have to ever. But if you do decide you want to try, here's a tool that might help.
Wow, Free Will sounds like an amazing tool and option for people. But is there other ways that the Land Trust can help support people through this process?
Absolutely. I mean, I am always happy to be a resource and talk to anyone that's exploring different pathways. I always also encourage people to talk to a financial advisor. I know I said that earlier, but I think it is really important to, you know, especially once you get to that point that you're starting to try and pick what type of legacy gift is best, or if, you know, best practices, I will not be advising you on that. But, you know, so having a financial advisor that you trust who can really work with you on that is excellent. But in terms of just being a sounding board and an ear, that's, we're here for you. We've got a list of kind of simplified breakdowns of what different types of gifts are on our website. We've got a pretty extensive FAQ there that you can explore. And certainly, you know, we can put you in touch with other legacy members who can talk about their experience and things like that too.
Well, cool. I mean, it sounds like the barrier to entry is, we've thought of a lot of things to prevent those barriers. But, you know, there's people out there who maybe this just isn't the right option for right now. Is there another type of gift that they can make that is perhaps more financially advantageous, but that's just a straight donation? Or
absolutely, absolutely. There are so many different ways to give and to support the work that we're doing. One that I think is particularly advantageous is a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA. And that, you know, I can totally get in the weeds of that, but it's a really great tax-savvy way to handle payments coming out of your IRA and making sure that you don't get hit with too high of taxes and things like that. So we've had a number of donors come forward in the last couple of years who are just like, hey, this is great. I didn't realize this was an option. And it's totally keeping, you know, my taxes down while, you know, I would never have thought I could make a gift like this to the Land Trust in the past, but this is great for me.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those come into the Land Trust and been like, win-win!
It's totally great. You know, yeah. if we can have a donation path or venue that provides that, it's perfect. Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, and I should plug a second that we also, as part of our Free Will program, they have a streamlined QCD tool. So that you can fill out all the paperwork for your financial institution, submit it, and they will handle, you know, getting the QCD set up. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, let me think. If you could share something with our listeners that you wish you had known about legacy giving, what would it be?
Oh boy. Let me think. I think I've maybe touched on it earlier in our conversation. I think what I would encourage people in general, our members, our listeners, whoever, you know, it's kind of my, when I get on my soapbox, it's to not be afraid of thinking about your legacy. And I know that's kind of a pretentious thing to say, or maybe not, because it's natural to feel fear around it. I felt immense fear. And in fact, I think I wrote my first will out of fear when I had my son at 18. I remember sitting there going, oh my God. If I die, like, what's going to happen? And, you know, so I totally understand that these things come from sometimes a very deep place of fear, but that it doesn't have to be. And actually it can be really rewarding, and peace giving internally, to think about it and to consider, you know, to kind of just sit and think about all of the things that are important in your life, whether it's your kids or causes, whatever it is, you know, that's defined you, whether up until age 18, like I was then, or, you know, and certainly those things change. And I've revisited my will several times, you know, as I've come along, or when we first bought our house, things like that. But it's just, it offers a really powerful reflection moment that I think is important for all of us to just kind of stop and consider. And I think that, you know, in the end, it's one of the most rewarding things you can do. So, you know, whatever it takes, whether it's a few glasses of wine for me, or
put it on the calendar. Yeah.
Maybe it's a cup of green tea sitting by the ocean. Like, you know, I think it's, I would really encourage you, if you've thought about it or considering it, or even if you hadn't before, to really give some time to it.
Well, that was, I think it was a really great conversation that we just had. And thank you so much for sharing that information. I know even me personally, I probably should get on free will. there's just so much here that I hadn't really thought about. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome. And honestly, my main goal in all of these conversations with our members, with you, with anyone who'll really let me bend their ear on it, is to help people really become comfortable with thinking about their legacy and find a mode of giving in a way that's meaningful for them.
Absolutely. One last question. How can people contact you if they have questions?
So my cell phone number is 831-588-8209. And you can reach me via text or phone call, whichever. You can also email me at Laura, L-A-U-R-A dot Schickman, S-C-H-I-C-K-M-A-N, at landtrustsantacruz.org. And I'm also fully vaccinated and happy to meet in person for coffee, tea, or a hike on one of our properties. So whatever sounds best.
Fantastic. Thank you, Laura, for your time. And thank you for letting me guest host this podcast.
And thank you, Sarah, for interviewing me. I wasn't sure how it would feel to be on the other side of the mic, but I really enjoyed getting to share more with y'all about our legacy program. Thanks again, Land Trust listeners. And until next time, happy trails.